TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Film Course TV Corner Game of Thrones podcast. We're doing season 7, episode 2, Stormborn. With me, I have TJ and Lulu guest starring. Yeah, awesome. I feel like the show's moving pretty fast. Everyone seems to be getting around pretty quickly, at least. For the most part, I think we're just really getting all our pieces in place for the big showdowns that are going to happen at the last half of the season.
I mean, yeah, we definitely have. I mean, okay, first of all, initial takes on the episode.
My favorite scene was basically finding out that, you know, Grey Worm is a Kindle.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Oh yeah, I was actually, okay, I'll wait till we get to that.
okay.
But yeah, I was really into this episode. Yeah, this episode, I mean, it sold the season a little more for me. I think the first episode was more set up. I mean, this one was also set up, but they only have 5 episodes left, correct, in this season?
Yeah.
To really hit things off. But yeah, I was
really... Oh, I don't like thinking about it. It makes me anxious.
Yeah, don't bring it up.
Lulu, do you have like any, were there any moments that really stood out to you?
I like the part where they transition from, you know, them hooking up to Sam and the book, you know, trying to find the cure for that. I thought that was very nice, nicely done. I also liked the last part of the scene, like how it ended. Euron Greyjoy comes in and massacres the ship.
Okay. All right, well, let's hop right into this episode. We're gonna break it down based on location and not by scene, just because I think it's easier to focus on one part of Westeros at a time. So we're gonna kick it off with Dragonstone. Right. Who runs the world?
The girls, yeah.
Yeah, but just like you would expect, they're bickering and.
Yeah, the pettiness is real. It felt like the Real Housewives of Westeros.
You can't figure out a game plan. It takes Tyrion to come in and like settle things for them to figure out a game plan. But I'm with that too. Like, that was a really cool scene just to see a war room full of women talking about you know, what are the best strategies for taking over the world. Because it didn't seem like they really thought that there was no like hesitation in that, the thought that they could do it. It was just like, how should we do it? You know, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, how exactly. Should they do it?
What did you guys
like? I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, like, she.
Lulu, what'd you think about their strategy?
She gets that advice from that old lady, and do you think it's good advice? Like,
Olenna?
Yes. Sorry.
Well, before we jump onto that, what'd you guys think about their overall plan in general?
I mean, it didn't work, right?
I mean, well, we didn't know that at the time. I guess at the time, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And basically, their plan was to send Westerosi troops to King's Landing and send Unsullied, like, basically around to Casterly Rock. Because they wanted the other houses to see, like, their friends basically taking over King's Landing instead of, like, foreigners. Which I totally get. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, going back to Lulu's point, when Lady Olenna was saying, like, you know, you're a dragon, be a dragon. Like, at this, we don't have time to play these games, you know?
That really surprised me. That really surprised me from Lady Olenna. Like,
really?
I would have expected her to be a better judge of character when it came to Tyrion. And to, like, you know, kind of see his point and not wanting to, like, burn the world down. Mad King style in order to take over, but I'm not against her being gung-ho about it. It just surprised me.
Do you think she's like salty right now because of the whole like Marjorie, Loras, everyone
definitely
getting burned up? Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely could be biasing her tactical prowess right now, but maybe not in a bad way.
Now we're still talking about, like, judging people's character. What did you guys think about what Varys said about how he's loyal to the people, not to the ruler?
I think that was interesting. I like where he was coming from. He's not, you know, a sycophant. He's not going to just blindly follow, you know, whoever he makes the decision. And he's choosing her. And I think that was pretty appealing, you know, good argument. He knows how to persuade. And he won me over.
I agree.
Do you guys... Do you guys think that, like, Varys would ever want to sit on the Iron Throne?
No. No, I don't see that at all. I mean, I think Varys sold me seasons ago on his character. He does go about his things in a shady way because those are the tools that he has and that's where his skill set is. But, like, yeah. I totally believe what he's saying when he's saying he's loyal to the people and not to any certain house. And I think this scene was one of the most intriguing scenes to me for the whole episode, really. And very... And the way that the back and forth that they had with each other, I thought was great. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do well together. But I'm sold on Varys. I think Varys is a good acquisition for Daenerys. And I think they're going to, I think he's going to have some awesome things to offer.
Yeah, I think yeah. The point of him making that he will, like, keep her in check, that's needed. Like, I think everyone before her dad was kind of crazy, right? And, like, killed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, you know, everybody, she doesn't want to end up like that.
Pretty much anybody on her side that she's talked to throughout the whole series has been hard eyes emoji over her and not able to, like, really, you know,
focus. Yeah.
So I think that he's great in that, like, he's gonna say what's on his mind. He's not sugarcoating it, and she needs to hear that from somebody too.
That's definitely true. So, and she also receives another visitor trying to give her counsel. Melisandre shows up at Dragonstone. Oh. Basically saying that Dany is now the princess.
She wasn't really saying that. She just said that, like, maybe, like, you're part of it. You're part of the story, you know. Like.
Well, at this point, Melisandre is like 0-2. So I like she's just guessing at this point. She doesn't know.
I think she was like she was clear that there was the prophecy and that it was open to interpretation. But she was only, I think the only thing she really said was that Dany had a part to play.
Yeah, yeah. She made sure to, like, have her ass covered, you know? She's like, like.
Yeah, she's learned her lesson. Let's not sound too sure of ourselves this time.
Yeah, no absolute answers were given, you know? She's like, maybe you are, like, Prince.
You couldn't have something to do with that, but I'm, you know, I'm here in case you need me.
I don't really know how to segue into this now, but, Missandei and Grey Worm. I think we all knew that this hookup was going to happen eventually, and I really like the way they handled it.
I liked it. I'm glad that it happened, you know, the whole time. I'm just mad they didn't show anything. I mean, we see later in Old Town what they're willing to show on this show, and they really went, they had Missandei bear all for everybody, but they couldn't show, like, a little fleshy patch where a scar tissue was or something. I mean, show that shit, man.
Well, I think they showed a little bit. Like, he had a little bit, you know, right? Like, it wasn't, like, completely flat down there.
I don't think so. Okay. I kind of wanted to see it, too. But to be honest, I mean, at the same time, like, they didn't show Missandei's, like, all of her undercarriage. Like, we see her chest. We see his chest. Everyone's basically on the same footing here.
We see everybody's nipples. Yeah. I get it. I don't think
genital mutilation is, like, still a thing that's actually happening around the world. And I think that it was handled in such a sensitive way that I think that I didn't know that Game of Thrones is really capable of handling something like this. Just because their history of, like, you know, sexual violence in the show and, like, misogyny and really not handling some of those issues with the most tact. So
I get what you're saying.
I was fine without it.
I could have wanted more, but that's fine. I mean, yeah, I get that.
Y'all
sense.
Are just nosy.
I
or at least give me, like, a reaction from Missandei, like, nothing too.
My prediction from this is that he's gonna die pretty soon, though. Now.
My prediction is they break out the toys.
Oh my God.
Hands and mouth, it's all
like
good.
An ivory. I'm sorry.
Dragon
oh my
bones.
God.
Yeah, that's better. That's a bit more fitting.
Okay. Oh my God. Well, now that we've gone down south, let's go up north to Winterfell.
Good one.
Good, I like it.
John announces, basically, Dany has summoned him to Dragonstone to bend the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, listen, y'all, we need that dragon glass and Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great chance for me to go trade for it now. You know, we got to get it. I got to go down there. A lot of people object, and they're like, dude, like, the last time someone went south, a Stark, it was actually Ned's brother, burned alive by the Mad King, which is Dany's father. So they're like, this is a high chance of it being a trap for you, but he's like, this is a risk we gotta take. And he leaves Sansa in charge, with Littlefinger just smirking in the background. Obviously, Jon going south and leaving Winterfell in the hands of Sansa definitely plays right into Littlefinger's plan of, like, get Sansa in power, let me marry her. And he kind of hints at that when he's in the crypts with Jon in, like, a really creepy way.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he was just trying to get a rise out of Jon, like, with everything. Like, oh, your mother didn't like you, did she? And then, oh, I liked her very much. And then it was like,
I love your sister.
And I love your sister too. Yeah. Just.
There were some interesting little interactions there. Like when Jon announces that he's going to leave Sansa in charge, anybody catch that little glance she throws Littlefinger's way? Like what is she thinking in her head? Like,
to go to the dark side? You know, she's like kind of the next.
I don't know. It might hint at something maybe along the lines of. I don't see enough of a rift between her and Jon to think that she would try to, like, you know, keep her power once Jon comes back, or like that she thinks that she might be a better ruler than Jon. But I do see that maybe Littlefinger, if he somehow gets that, if he gets her ear a little more, he might be able to plant that seed in her and, like, let her know that, hey, this is all available to you and you can do the right thing for your people and I'll help you make those decisions and we don't need Jon, you know, like, and that kind of creeps me out a little bit, but.
I'm actually, so on that, I think that if anything, like, putting her in charge definitely, like, closed any kind of rift that had ever kind of formed between him and Sansa. I think that once she said, like, he respects me enough to put me in charge, she's going to feel responsible. And she knows that ultimately Littlefinger does not really care about Winterfell. He doesn't care about the well-being of all those other houses.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that. Yeah. I think that she's definitely going to take this opportunity to somehow fuck over Littlefinger.
Yeah, somebody needs to do that shit. Like, why is he still alive?
She's going to... he's only there because, like, he's trying to get with Sansa and he, like, helped them with the Battle of the Bastards. Mm-hmm. So I think that she's going to try and figure out a way to get the veil from him. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really sure that she's going to use this to outmaneuver him for sure.
I hope so. I hope you're right on that.
Same.
Me too. All right, and speaking of maneuvers, let's go down to King's Landing, where Cersei basically gives a Donald Trump-level speech to all the noble houses.
Xenophobe, yeah.
It's pretty, yeah, xenophobia for sure.
I mean, maybe justified in this scenario, saying it's like Dothraki hordes coming to take the land away from you or whatever, but...
I mean, this is, you know, it's pretty crazy. It's like 9/11 was an inside job. The blowing up of the steps was an inside job. You know, like, yeah, who can you trust?
Yeah.
I think a few of the houses are going to rally to her, but, like, no one really likes the Lannisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think definitely once they take Casterly Rock, the other houses are going to be like, actually, you guys just. Targaryens can run this shit again.
Well, what do you think? Do you think that Randall Tarly is going to be, like, taken by that offer to be Warden of the South?
Randall Tarly is not going to turn on Highgarden.
I don't know. Tyrell's pretty convincing in that offer.
Yeah, but, I mean, Randall Tarly sucks. And he's definitely, like, one of those, like, he's definitely a Republican. But, like, I think he, at the end of the day, has values. And I really don't see him doing it. I don't know. Maybe it'll surprise me, but I really took him as a man of, like, stern honor, you know, kind of like a Clint Eastwood type. But this is the come up of the century if he does become, like, you know, Warden of the South. So it's hard to tell which way he'll go.
Yeah. No, agreed. What about that big-ass crossbow they had in the basement?
Oh, yeah.
I was why y'all gotta destroy shit while you're testing it, dude? Is that necessary?
I feel like that's it's a decent plan if it can work, but, like, you're sitting there with a fucking huge skull on the ground. How's that gonna work with a dragon flying by, spitting fire in your face? Like, I don't know if they can get a clean hit like that off. It was very impressive. I'll give it to them. Their solution is well thought out, but I don't know.
You gotta surround the dragon. You know, I think there's gonna be casualties. You know, like, maybe they have to, like, corner.
And maybe their plan will be, like, let's just line everyone up and run directly at him and just make sure this dragon should look.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't put it past Cersei to have that kind of, yeah, that kind of plan where it's like, let's just sacrifice wave after wave of soldiers until we can get that shot.
Yeah.
Do you guys think we'll lose a dragon this season?
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll lose Drogon. I mean, that's really the only dragon I care about, but, like...
Guys. All dragon lives matter. You know the names of the other two?
I don't. That's how little I care about them.
They're like the other members of Destiny's Child. Like, I mean, their names on the tip of my tongue, but
Michelle Williams,
Kelly and Michelle. That's their names. Yeah. Kelly, Michelle, and Drogon.
Yeah, we should have called them that.
Kelly and Michelle Williams are gonna be fine this season. Actually, no, we'll probably lose the Michelle, whichever one that is, in the group. And moving into Old Town, Sam trying to cure Jorah. That was awesome because I love peeling scabs, but also horrible.
My goodness, yeah. It was really gross. And that, like, again, with that transition scene where they like show that chowder or whatever.
Oh yeah, he was like going into the crust of that meat pie or whatever.
Yeah.
That was.
Oh, and then
it's like pouring out of his mouth.
Do you guys think that Jorah will be cured?
Yes, I think Sam's. I think Sam's bravery here is going to have an effect and pay off. And I think he's going to cure Jorah. And people are going to be like, dope.
Do you think Sam's going to die, though, by trying to cure Jorah?
I mean, as long as he cuts whatever it gets on off, he'll be all right. If he, like, wear a mask, though, bro, right? Man, wear a mask. That's like, please.
I think Sam's going to make it to the end.
Okay. Yeah, because he's like the narrator, practically. Like,
I love the fact that Archmaester is writing a book on all the past battles. Like, he's got, like, we know all the battles that book is going to be about. And, like, him stacking up those books and collecting all the research for it was a really cool scene for me. Old Town is turning into one of my favorite books.
Like, look, I can just tell you what happened. You don't have to write these books. I can just tell you right now. I think that actually I'm going to make a prediction that Randall Tarly and Dickon Tarly are going to die, and Sam's going to become the Lord of Hornhill.
Hornhill, yeah. You think so?
And that he's going to, which is going to be, you know, huge upset.
The intelligence needs to be rewarded more on this show, and Sam's he's ready for it.
All right, well, we have Arya in Old Town. So we get back to the Riverlands, and we have Arya meeting up with Hot Pie again. And I love how Hot Pie keeps making these, basically, what are now cameo appearances.
He's aging well. I think his boyish charm is really... He's like the only one who doesn't look awkward. He still looks like a little boy, though.
Yeah, that's true, gracefully. Yeah. And he tells her that, dude, like, Jon Snow is running shit in the north, and your sister's up there hanging out. And she's like, what? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's good.
I would say the same thing, honestly. Like, come on.
It's like the best case scenario for what really could have, how it could have really worked out.
Yeah, totally. I like that it changed her plans. I think that shows a little bit of humanity and maybe a little bit of Arya still in there.
I mean, it's going to suck because she's going to miss Jon because he's currently headed on a boat south.
All the near misses of the Stark family, they just keep bobbing and weaving.
What do you think Jon's perspective would be if he found out about Arya's dark past, like how many people she's killed?
I think he'd be impressed. But at the same time, he'd be like, you're doing the wrong thing.
I think I've never had to tell my parents that I've done something I'm not proud of, or some things I'm not proud of I haven't told them. But I feel like that's a level of, like, I just killed 50 Frey. It's pretty intense. I don't know. I think she definitely lost a lot. I mean, they all have really lost their, like, innocence. I think the only person who was innocent still was Rickon, and he is, you know, dead now.
Yeah.
So I think that's a hard reality to face. I think when you first realize maybe your younger brother or, like, younger relative is, like, isn't a kid anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's Game of Thrones. Nobody's innocent anymore.
And on her way north, she runs into Nymeria.
Oh, yes. That was,
It's good to see a wolf. I mean, I had, first season one, I had so many cool, my imagination was running wild with how these wolves and these kids would, like, grow up and, like, become powerful. And the wolves have just kind of stepped back, and the dragons have taken over. But the dire wolves are really the coolest part to me, and I think it was good to see one of them.
Do you think we'll see Nymeria again?
Negative.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I think so. It didn't seem like it was the end of it.
Nymeria's living her life. She's living her best life. She's got a pack. She really is the HBO.
I know.
I think Nymeria.
She is living her best life.
Yeah, she's living her best. I mean,
that's true.
She looked dead in Arya's eyes and was like,
nah, bitch.
No, you gotta find your own pack. I can't.
But isn't there a chance that like Arya is like caught hurt or something, or like she's almost gonna be killed, and then like,
oh, that would be so cheap.
Like, oh, like an ex machina. I really hope they don't do that. If Nymeria shows up, she's gotta show up and die. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want this whole like she runs as a, behind a tree, just helps her out and like runs back. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Can't. I
Nymeria
feel like
is not a Pokemon that you can just break out anytime you need to do battle. I think Nymeria has to go live her own life.
Oh, yeah. I think she's going to live her own life, but I think their lives are going to definitely cross again. Or maybe that's what I'm hoping, because I saw it in season one.
Maybe on some next season final battle. I don't think it's going to happen before.
I feel like it won't be anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, well, let's get on where a place where we wish Nymeria had been. when Euron attacks Yara's fleet at the worst fucking possible time.
Right.
I really loved when Ilaria, Sand, and Yara Greyjoy were, like, about to make out.
Oh, yes.
And then Ilaria's like, here comes a foreign invasion. And then immediately right then is actually when a foreign invasion occurs.
Yes.
And Euron Greyjoy is the first motherfucker off that ship, just ready to just
talking the
cut anyone down.
Talk.
It was
or walking the motherfucking
insane.
Walk, dude. Like, everything he said up to this point, he just seemed like he was, you know, bragging, or just he's just like, you know, talking big talk. But he showed everybody. Like, that was very impressive, and he quickly became one of my favorite villains. Probably my favorite villain in the show right now.
I would just say, like, a lot of villains that we've seen in the show have been kind of, like, in the shadows, cunning and sneaky. But Euron Greyjoy, like, he said, yeah, I killed your dad. You about to make me king. And they made him king. He shows up like, I'm about to take this shit. He takes it. Like, I mean, I respect that to that point of, like, there's really no scheming. He just gets it done, you know?
Mm-hmm. He killed the sand snakes. Like,
oh yeah,
they were crazy good. Like, he took, I mean, just the he came down on the ship like on that ramp, and he said, "What did he say? Give Uncle a kiss or something like that." That's the most badass shit I've ever seen. I thought it was very impressive.
Speaking of not talking the talk, Yara is basically like, "Theon's gonna be my protector," and then the second he has to show that he's actually gonna try and protect her, he fails.
I think
that PTSD hit strong.
Yeah.
His only redemption is death. Can we all agree with that?
Yeah, he's coming back for sure. What? He's not dead. Like,
oh, he's not dead, but he's gonna die. Like
he should drown himself for sure though.
Oh, I was gonna say the only way to redeem all of that is just like him, like, you know, dying battlefield or like sacrificing himself for the greater good, because he cannot like stay alive.
Or going back to the Iron Islands and, like, starting a really important mental health program for people who've been through traumatic experiences. Because, honestly, I think it's, like, clear that you can't willpower your way through the shit that he was put through. Yeah. So
I will say this. I mean, he did great up until that point. So I think that was, he was kind of pushed. Like, maybe his therapy has only gotten him so far, you know?
Yeah, but really, has he had to do anything, though? Like, he's just been, like, making all these promises. Up until now.
But he did
like
kill some people
there.
While he was fighting up until that point.
Oh yeah, he did kill a few people.
Yeah, so he was doing it until that final moment. I think that he's definitely gonna redeem himself through some sort of sacrifice later on. And I think it's good that he someone can report back to Danny.
Yeah, that's good.
What just happened.
Maybe he had like a whole like, maybe this was like the best choice scenario for him, because he was outnumbered. And he was like watching all these guys like cutting off tongues. If he was brave, like what could he have done in that case? You know,
he would have died.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, yeah, he would have died. There's no way he would have beat Euron. Like, yeah. I mean, if Yara couldn't beat him, there's no way Theon can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna be interesting. Maybe if he does come back, like he's got a chance to, you know, return that favor that Yara gave to him and rescue her, and. If he can kill Euron, like, that's going to be quite a feat. Euron has proven himself to be quite the adversary.
He's got the style and the savagery.
He does have the style.
Well, do you guys have any predictions for next week?
Hmm. John's gonna meet Danny and fire and ice cross paths. It's gonna be dope. This really didn't give us a lot to go on for next episode. Just because that ending was so final, but I would like to know what's gonna happen with Euron and Cersei. Like, is she gonna be impressed enough to marry this dude? Like, maybe.
I think her brother is out, and this new guy Euron is in. You know, like.
Yeah,
I could definitely totally predict that, because her brother has been kind of like distancing himself and being like, "Hey, this bitch is broken." So
I'm predicting that there will be a Cersei Euron wedding this season. Maybe in the next episode. That feels really soon. I mean, but I feel like it's definitely gonna happen. I think that Bran's gonna make it to Winterfell.
Bran. Oh wait, we didn't get any Bran this episode.
We didn't, and I feel like he's gonna hang out with the Night's Watch. Be like, listen, I gotta go talk to Jon. They're gonna be like, Jon's at Winterfell. He's like, I guess I gotta go to Winterfell.
A reunion of the last of the Starks. Okay.
And also, that's where the nearest weirwood tree is, south of the wall, I think, so.
Okay, yeah.
That's how, you know, it's how he gets his dial-up connection, so.
And I hope you're right. I hope you're right about a lot of the predictions you're making. I think they're a little bit optimistic, mm-hmm. but I hope you're right.
I try. Okay, well, guys, thank you so much for jumping on this podcast with me, and I'll talk to you both, TJ, next week. Lulu, hopefully we'll get you back for another episode.
Yes, all right. We'd love to come back.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, bye.
All right. Bye.